National FFA.
My name is Jack.
I'm Anna Marie.
And I'm Emily.
And today we have the honor to introduce to you someone very special to us. Some of you may remember him as the Ugly Crier, but to us, he's a theater nerd, avid fairgoer, and wannabe steer jock.
He has the grayest hair, the most contagious laugh, and the biggest heart, but most importantly, the willingness to help those in his community.
This year, he has become quite the scrapbooking king, spontaneous adventurer, and postcard sender. But through it all, he has stuck to his core, meeting members where they are.
As his time in the Blue Jacket may be coming to an end, he will always be my big brother,
our best friend,
and your 97th National FFA Secretary, Mr. Grant Norfleet.
After a season of night falls and pushbacks, after the heartache, a wrong turns and sidetracks, just when they think they got you game set.
As I pull up to the airport, I'm ready to go. I'm navigating through family on vacation, business people in suits, and gaggles of students traveling for school. Finally, I spot an opening to the airline check-in desk. No line, score. It's here where I weigh my bags, hoping they're under 50 pounds. Whew, 49 and a half, it's my lucky day. Next is the dreaded TSA line check-in where I'm chosen for a random security screening. After confirming I am not a threat to national security, I head towards my gate. A bathroom break, a Starbucks drink, and a half-mile trek across the airport later, I finally arrived at my gate. Now here's where the real challenge is. Finding a place to sit at while I wait for my flight. Finally, I spot an open seat. I've made it with an hour to spare. If I've learned one thing this year as a national officer, it's that no matter where you are in the world, every airport experience is exactly the same. Rushing through all the steps just to sit and do the same thing. Wait. I've spent my fair share of waiting in busy airports, but to pass the time, one of my favorite things to do is to watch people as they pass by. Not in a weird stalker way, but more in the matter of curiosity. I can't help but wonder, who are these people? Where are they traveling to? Sometimes I even make up stories about who these people are. As person after person passes by, my eyes begin to feel heavy as if someone's clipped two weights dangling from them. The more I blink, the harder it is to keep my eyes open. The sound around me begins to feel fuzzy.
Attention in the cabin. This is your captain speaking. We are experiencing some unfortunate circumstances and unable to make an emergency landing. We will need to immediately evacuate the aircraft. Our flight crew has informed me that we do not have enough parachutes for every passenger. Please make your decisions wisely as you decide who gets a parachute.
Did y'all just hear that? We don't have enough parachutes and I have to choose who gets one? My word. I'm gonna need some help and figure out who these poor people are on this plane with me because I just got woke up from my beauty sleep. I see a man that reminds me of the guys at my local feed store. He's calm and keeps to himself. I bet he's traveling to see the queen of his double-wide trailer. His name's Jason. He's 54 years old, and he's a beef and row crop farmer. Now the young lady next to him, she looks like she could take anybody in a fight. I mean, even Bigfoot's afraid of this gal. Her name's Kayla. She's 28 years old, and she's a professional tennis player. Now the next individual I set my eyes on is this grumpy older gentleman. He's asking the flight attendant a lot of questions, and bro doesn't even have his shoes on. I mean, how can you be frustrated and have your dogs out, man? He looks like a Greg, and I'd say he's 66 years old and probably still working. I'm gonna assume as a city garbage man. Now, the next gal is someone my mom always told me to identify when traveling in case of an emergency. She's about 45 years old, and she looks like a mom. I even noticed that she was handing out a piece of candy to the little girl in front of her. How sweet of her to act like she's the first lady and all. She looks like a Peggy, and I'd say she's 45 years old and a nurse. Oh, and you. Each and every one of you are on this flight with me. So here we all are on this flight together, exactly as we are now. Okay, y'all, pause. I'm gonna decide who to give these parachutes to, and it looks like we only got three left. So I'm gonna need some help. Can y'all help me out with that? Okay. Now, we're gonna settle this in a good old-fashioned democratic hand raise. So by a show of hands, we're gonna vote for who we would give a parachute to. How many of us would give a parachute to our farmer, Jason? What about our professional tennis player, Kayla? Greg, our grumpy old garbage man. Peggy, our nurse. And ourself. Interesting. Now, obviously, this is a dream, and it's not real. But in reality, I often think there's two types of people in this world. Those who would say, forget the other folks. I'm the first to deserve that parachute. I know if I were sitting in your seats as a high schooler, I'd think I was important enough to save. Or some of us might even feel the opposite, as if these strangers are more deserving of a parachute than we are. But why? Is it because we feel unworthy when we compare ourselves to others? That feeling we get when we look at everyone else's accomplishments, talents, and skills, and wish so badly we could be just like them, even when it seems impossible. I know I have. Whether it was never winning a single student council election, always being the last person in class to finish a test, or simply wishing everyone wearing, I thought everyone wearing the blue corduroy would think would be cool as I did. It's moments like these that make us feel so small in this world. It's too often we navigate this life wishing we were just like the people we thought were important. But what's the right way to think? Aren't we all just real people deserving of a parachute? Well, nothing screams real like being in the barn on the hottest day of the summer. Well, let me correct that. The hottest day of the summer in the Midwest, which means it is so humid you could swim through the air and your skin feels like one of those sticky hands that clings onto everything it touches. Gross. I'm doing what's common for the Norfleet boys at around 7 p.m., finishing up chores in the show barn. My brother Jack and I have been showing cattle since the age of 8 years old and would spend our summer evenings rinsing, blow-drying, and feeding the show cattle. Now, if you know anything about Grant, it's that he is a creature of habit and loves a good routine. I mean, Jack and I have it down to a science when it comes to chores in the show barn. However, when it comes to wrapping up our final duties for the day, there's always two jobs left to do. The feed scooper and the pooper scooper. I'm sure you can guess which job I prefer. Obviously, the feed scooper. I mean, scooping poop has to be one of the most disgusting jobs someone could ever have. You have to pick up after every animal in the show barn, no matter if it's a solids day or a liquids day, if you know what I mean. Not only are you picking up poop with a rusty old pitchfork, you are the lucky winner who gets to wheel a full wheelbarrow with a flat tire to the other side of the farm to dispose of the day's collections. Sounds like a prestigious job, right? Naturally, being the older brother, I always volunteered Jack to be the pooper scooper. On this particular fine summer evening, Dad happens to be joining us out in the show barn as we finish up our chores for the day. I begin scooping buckets, like I always do, and tell Jack to get started so we can be done for the evening. But he just sits there, stares at me. Now, Jack typically does his chores unprompted, so I asked him again to start cleaning pins so we could be done for the evening and I could start feeding. But he just sits there. At this point, I am fired up. I'm hot, I'm tired, I'm sweaty, and I'm ready to be done for the night. Jack, start cleaning pins so we don't have to be here all night. Jack fires back with the classic younger sibling victim card. Well, why do I always have to clean pins? You make me do all the dirty work you don't want to do. Well, he didn't really sound like that, but when he complains in the barn, that's what I think he sounds like. But at the end of the day, I am fired up. But what I don't realize is Jack is being very intentional in this moment. Because who else is joining us in the barn today? Grant! I freeze. I know my dad's yell better than anyone. My heart drops. You better pick up that pitchfork and get to cleaning. The barn feels still as if the whole world stopped spinning. I don't know who you think you are, but you're not better than cow poop. Turning ghost white, I turn and look at my brother. Not only had he played his cards right, but he was right. I had been making him do all the jobs I didn't want to do because I thought I was better than him. But why? Why do we puff up our chest and breathe this breath of superiority over the people we think we're better than? Is it because of the social norm society places on us? That those who are older, have a higher education, have more money, or a fancy leadership position with a cool title are more superior? Or is it because deep down inside, we feel so insecure, so small, so worthless, that we have to make others feel small so we can feel as if we're better than them? Sure, I'm the older brother, have been in school longer, and have been in the show ring a few more times than Jack has. But it took my dad telling me for me to realize that I've been treating someone that I cared for so much, feel so small, because I thought I was better than him. How embarrassing is that? For those of us in this room that might feel a little uncomfortable right now, it's probably because this hit a little too close to home. I don't know what power trip dream we're all in, but wake up. Wake up and recognize when we breathe a breath of superiority and feel like we're better than others. Take ownership of our actions and treat people right, because we are not better than anybody else. I'm not better than anybody else. I'm just a real person, much like our passengers waiting for a parachute. How do we decide who to save? Each and every one of us on this flight have a very real life that goes far beyond what we can see on the outside. Jason, our 54-year-old farmer, he's worked diligently to keep his farm through financial strains and struggles with his mental health. He's flying to attend a conference designed to help folks just like him. Kayla, our 28-year-old professional tennis player. She's headed to be the keynote speaker at a rehab facility that helped her overcome addiction her first year on the circuit. Greg, our grumpy old garbage man. He's a disabled veteran, still working so he can afford plane tickets to visit his grandchildren. He's anxious and frustrated that he might miss the birth of his newest granddaughter. Peggy, our nurse. Well, former nurse, because she actually is flying across the country to move in with her sister after losing her job. She's afraid of what the future might hold for her. And you, and all the things that make up who you are, the seen and the unseen. The real you living your real life with your real feelings and your real experiences. The things we notice about people on the outside, their job, attitude, appearance, titles, often shape the way we perceive their status. But as we can see from our fellow plane passengers, we can never truly know who people are and what they're experiencing. It's too often that we make quick assumptions about others based on surface level observations and quick interactions, ultimately to place ourselves in this hypothetical status hierarchy, whether we land at the top, the bottom, or somewhere in between. When we only see the surface, we lose sight of the fact that everyone deserves a parachute. We are all just real people with real lives, with real feelings and real experiences that go far beyond what we can see on the outside. Take a look around you. Look at everyone sitting next to you. We've all had shared experiences, and there's something we've all got in common. We've all farted and acted like it wasn't our fault. Look at the person next to you. I bet they're doing it right now. We've all tried to breathe a little quieter after walking up a flight of stairs so nobody thought we were out of breath. I know some of y'all are about to be huffing and puffing after we leave Lucas Oil here in a minute. Don't lie to me. We've all been to the grocery store, felt the feeling of excitement after making a new friend, cried, felt the feeling of being different, overcame a struggle. We've all felt lonely, we've all felt self-doubt, and we've all felt like we're the only one. But when we look around at each other, we have all had the same experiences, no matter who we are. And I'm no different. I can't help but wonder if when people say they've met me this year, they say I met the national officer or I met Grant. This year, I've worn a blank jacket that doesn't easily blend into a sea of chapter jackets. And every time I visited a state convention, I so badly wish I had the gold cutout of a state name that I could slap on my back so people would come up and treat me as Grant and not the national officer. So, let me introduce myself. My name is Grant. I'm 21 years old. I've peed in the pool, been sent to the principal's office, have wrecked my car, and I don't board first class. It's been a joy serving you all this year. But I've also felt severe imposter syndrome, feeling as if I wasn't good enough. Have been so lonely, I wouldn't eat because I was too afraid to sit in a restaurant alone. And I'm always anxious to be the brand new person in a room. I'm not perfect. I'm a real person with real feelings and real experiences that go far beyond what you've seen of me. Whether that wasn't at an event in your home state this year or the last 15 minutes I've been standing on this stage. Next time we interact with someone brand new or someone we've known for a lifetime, we must remember that they're real people too. Just think about how awesome our world would be as if instead of jumping to conclusions to make assumptions about somebody based on what we see on the outside, we took a moment to stop and think about what they might be going through. If we approach each other as fellow humans, that's what makes this world worth living in. No matter who you are, where you're from, or where you want to go, we're all just real people traveling through life together. There's people in this room that might be wearing a cool FFA jacket with a nice title stitched under our name. People in this room wearing a blank jacket. People in this room wearing a state association or district jacket. People in this room wearing a chapter jacket. And people in this room wearing a jacket that doesn't even have their real name on it. But no matter what's stitched in golden thread, we're all real people with real lives and real experiences wearing the same blue corduroy, bearing the same gold emblem. We're all just real people because we're not better than anybody else. And nobody is better than us. We're all the same. All people are real people. And you are too.